Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, today is the second message in our Mission Impossible series. So if you missed last week, you can catch it online. We just updated the website, so it's pretty clear now on the homepage. But my very important questions, I have two very important questions. Caleb, can you go have them turn down that music just a bit? Thank you so much. What do missionaries drive? Excuse me. Anybody? Convertibles. How about why do trees make good missionaries? They make people believe. Yes, only this area laughed on that one. Bless you guys with extra anointing today. I've tried to insert some jokes. If anyone was here when Pastor Tom was pastor and preaching every week, he had a very long legacy that I have inherited slightly where he would start the joke and then he would forget the joke by the end of it, or he would start the joke with the end of the joke. Have you ever known one of those people? So I am on a very uphill battle of redeeming jokes in our church. So just laugh with me as we redeem the times, okay? So our Mission Impossible Stop for the One series is all about looking at what does it really look like to go from simply working a 9-to-5, even if that's at home, whatever your 9-to-5 time is filled with, to actually living on mission, on God's mission for your life. And if you've been with us the last few months, we did a month on living on purpose, which was living with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And then last month, we talked about habits, and it's where the rubber hits the road. We can talk about life purpose all we want, but if our habits don't reflect what we're wanting in our life, then they're going to take us in a direction that we don't want to go, right? And so now we're talking about God's mission, because how many know we were put on this earth not to just fulfill what we want to do, even though that sounds great until it doesn't, right? But we were actually put on this earth to fulfill a much bigger purpose, and that's God's mission. So that word mission means an important assignment typically involving travel. And our key verses, we actually have two for the month. The first one's Philippians 3:20, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. And then the second one is what we sang a lot this morning, which is your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's Matthew 6:10. So you are a citizen of heaven on a long-term mission trip. Anyone ever feel like you're on a long-term mission trip, but you like missed the layover and the luggage ended up in the wrong place? Anybody? I think I've told this story before, but it's been a couple years since I've shared it. Judith and I were in Scotland. Yes, I always get Ireland and Scotland confused. Don't kill me. I know. It's sacrilege. But anyway, we were on our way to Scotland, and we were on the tarmac at JFK, and our airplane got hit by another airplane, and the wing, like I guess it wouldn't be the wing. It's the back tail. Is that what it's called? It got broken off the airplane. You can Google it. It was like, I don't know, 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know, somewhere around there. It did make the news. And so the whole airplane goes like this, right? And we're with a bunch of Scottish people, and we're trying to get to Scotland to evangelize on this mission trip. And we end up getting off the airplane, and all the Scottish people got very drunk because there was like free alcohol being given at all the gates. And we got delayed for like, I don't know, it was hours. And we kept getting bumped from gate to gate to gate to gate. If you've ever traveled and it's been one of those days, right? And so finally we end up on an airplane and we get there, but all our luggage ended up in a different place. And so we were on a mission trip. We had been delayed. So we'd been up for, I don't know how many hours. We were, you know, you get all sweaty and just yucky. And the mission trip, we were actually going to be sleeping on a church's floor during the mission trip. So this wasn't one of those posh mission trips that you raise thousands for. It was like, we were going to go to the streets and spread the gospel during the Fringe Festival, which is the creative arts festival in Scotland. It's amazing. And so we get there and we end up sleeping in sleeping bags that I don't know who the last person slept slept in them was, right? And we're in our clothes and we're on a mission trip. And we really felt like we were on a mission trip. And some days you wake up to go to your 9 to 5 and you feel like your luggage is in a different country. And you just feel like you are really on a mission trip and you don't even want to be there. And you don't know when you'll get to shower. Maybe you've got young kids and you're chasing after them, or you've got a long drive to work, or you've got a boss that you know is going to get angry at you because you missed an assignment and you need grace, but you don't know if they'll give it to you. Anybody ever been on a long-term mission trip in life, right? And so Jesus died to walk with us through those experiences. That's what we're talking about this month. So we are on mission, and that's actually one of our core values here at Thrive. And if you haven't picked up a core value sheet, they're in the little welcome brochure on the welcome desk. You might want to check those out, even if you've been here for a while. But we're on mission is one of our values. And it says, we take action to stop for the one. But what I love about this is, unless you're reading it, you don't get it. So we take action to stop for the lowercase one, but it also says / the uppercase one, right? So we take action in this church to stop for the uppercase one and the lowercase one, and we're going to get into that today. To reach people no one is reaching with Jesus, we can do things no one is doing, all right? So we're going to break down what that value looks like, because how many know you can have all the values you want, but if you don't live them out, they're just kind of wishful thinking, or they're like, you know, what you put on the wall and you ignore and you're like, oh, look, isn't that pretty? We got it at Hobby Lobby or wherever you get that, right? But if we're not living it out, it's just a wishful thought. And you know what? There's a lot in this world that is crying out for something that's a lot more real than a wishful thought. Amen. How many know that? Our families need more than a wishful thought. Our future needs more than a wishful thought. Our country needs more than a wishful thought. Your workplace needs a lot more than a wishful thought. So let's live on mission together. So number one, stop for the one. And this is the big O, right? I feel like I'm doing the YMCA this morning. If you ever want to stop for the little O, you need to stop for the big O. There we go. So Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I've said this, I think, last week, but too often the church puts the Great Commission before the Great Commandment. John Piper said it this way, missions exist because worship doesn't. And I loved how this commentary kind of broke that quote down. It says, missions is our way of saying the joy of knowing Christ is not private or tribal or for one nation, one culture, or one economic status. It is for all. And that is why we go, because we have tasted the joy of worshiping Jesus and we want all the families of the earth to be included. Isn't that beautiful? That's from Psalm 22, 27. All the nations of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. How many want to see some restored families? Amen. How many know that that's going to involve both the greatest commandment and the Great Commission lived out through the church? From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. You know, when we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we don't just pray that. It's not just a wishful thought, but we put legs to our prayers, right? We put legs to our prayers. And when it says, repent for the kingdom of heaven has come, when Jesus said that, that was saying, hey, the kingdom already has a king. And just like we sang this morning, I am not the king. But some of us need to remind ourselves, be still and know that I am God. That's God speaking. Little I is not, right? I love English. And so the kingdom already has a king. Some of us are living our lives like there's no king on the throne. Some of us are living our lives like the king is MIA, but that's not actually it. And unfortunately, because of our world's governments, how many know just all of the world's governments instill so much confidence in peace right now? Anybody just get that? Not really, right? I can't think of a single country right now. And so, unfortunately, when we say kingdom and king, some of us get a little bit traumatized because we're like, but but I don't trust the government. I don't trust any government, right? And so I want to just remind us who the King of Kings is this morning. Because how many know we don't serve a God that is corrupt? We don't serve a God that is changing his mind and double-minded. We don't serve a God like that. We serve a God that, well, let me read. He is pure light, it says in 1 John 1:5. He is patient, it says in 2 Peter 3:9. He is the giver of good gifts in James 1:17. He is spirit in John 4:24. He is not a human in Numbers 23:19. He is flawless and a refuge in Psalm 18. He is just in Psalm 50. He is gracious, compassionate, and righteous in Psalm 116:5. We could spend the whole rest of the sermon going into who the King of Kings is. But one of my favorite witnessing stories, I think this was one that Pastor Jordy did, because she loves to just witness. She says she's an introvert, but she talks to more strangers than I ever will in my life. I don't know how that works in her mind. But anyway, she was on the Commons, and she was evangelizing with her harp. And she doesn't just do that here. She actually wrote a book about all the places in the entire world she's traveled around. She's gone from laundromats to ministering in war zones with her harp. It's pretty incredible. And so she was on the Commons with her harp, and these girls came up to her, and she started to witness to them. And one of them was like, something along the lines of like, well, I know God, or something like that. And my mom was like, oh, okay, well, tell me about that. And she was like, well, she said something like, you know, but I don't want God. And my mom was like, oh, well, why don't you tell me who God is to you? Who is that king? And she started telling it, and my mom was like, well, I don't want that God either. And, you know, we have a responsibility and we have a gift to actually get to communicate who the King of Kings really is to our world. There's a lot of talk about misinformation out there about who God really is. And there's this invitation to really dig into the scripture and look at the character of God, because that is what we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We got to know who the King of Kings is, because it's better than anything we could ever imagine. We can get so caught up in kingdom work that we actually forget who the king is. Have you ever done that? Even as a pastor, you can get going and going and stuff, and then you're like, wait a minute, when was the last time I stopped for the one, big capital O? When was the last time you stopped for the one in your relationships, in your habits, in your time, maybe just mentally, maybe in your schedule? When was the last time you stopped for the one, right? I love this quote from Screwtape Letters. Anybody read the Screwtape Letters? If you don't know what they are, this quote's going to be really odd to you, but I just Google the Screwtape Letters, and it'll make a lot more sense. It's written by C.S. Lewis, and this is the demon writing it, which is why you really need to Google it, because otherwise you're probably going to be very confused why I'm reading it. So it says, this is the demon speaking, noise, the audible expression of all that is ruthless, noise which alone defends us from silly qualms, despairing scruples, and impossible desires. We will make the whole universe a noise in the end. The melodies and silences of heaven will be shouted down in the end. Noise. Anybody ever feel like you're just surrounded by noise? And you actually have lost sight of who the King of Kings is. You're praying your kingdom come, but you actually don't even know what that means anymore. Psalm 59 says, deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. If you've ever had a neighbor who has a yapping dog, it is not a very pleasant experience. Maybe you personally have one. I'm glad I'm not your neighbor, but God bless your dog. I do like dogs. But when you have that just circling the city, and some of us feel like we have noise just circling our lives, and this is why we sing the song we sing, and I had just written it this morning, Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. I love this because that word be still, guess what it means? It doesn't mean to just be still. It means to sink. Isn't that cool? It's like just let go and sink. Now, sinking may be like, I don't want to sink, but it means letting go and relaxing. Have you ever just sunk into a nice bed I'm not talking about drowning in the ocean here, all right? No one walk out. I'm talking about sometimes you just need to let go and just sink into that chair. Sink into Jesus's lap. He said, let the children come to me. Just sink. Let it go. It also means to relax and be quiet. But it also, when you pair those words together, the be still and know that I'm God, guess what? I love English. That word and shouldn't be there. It actually should be to know that I am God. Be still to know that I am God. So some of us need to stop and let go of the noise around us to know that God is still king on the throne of his kingdom. Hallelujah. And some of us actually are trying to get to know God, but we're not letting go. And God is saying, you need to let go to know that I am king. Does that make sense? The King of Kings says, be still to know me. Matthew 11 says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11. So if you ever want to stop for the little one, we need to learn how to stop for the big one. We need to remember who is king on the throne, and we need to remember that he says to let go of what you're holding on to. And some of that can be busyness. Some of that can be stress. Some of it is bitterness. Some of it's unforgiveness. He's saying, let it go. Doesn't mean that what they did was right. That's very important that we understand that. But it does mean that Jesus dying on the cross is bigger than anything that will ever happen to you or you could ever do. And that's the best news ever. Amen? And so to stop for the little one, we need to be able to stop for the big one. So the question is, what agenda, what burden, what worry, what resentment do you need to let go of to know that God is still God over your life? Are you following? So if you're taking notes, write that down for this week. We're still in our Mission Possible. There's some flyers on the welcome table if you still want to be doing those Mission Possibles throughout the month of July. So number two is stop for the one. This is the little one. Everyone say little one. Let the little ones come to me, right? The little one. There we go. All right. Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. How do you stop for the one in front of you? What does that look like in your life, in your daily life? It's a habit of living on mission. The word missional has grown in popularity as a term, but sometimes it's something that we try to figure out how to add to our schedule. Have you ever tried to figure that out? Well, how am I going to add living out the Great Commission to my already more than busy, busy schedule, right? I've definitely thought that. But it's not something to add. It's something to intersect with your daily habits. Okay, so we're going to be unpacking that today and again throughout the whole month. But there are three different kinds of people here today. The number one, the I'm not a professional camp. Anyone ever thought that? I'm not a professional camp. Since I'm not a paid pastor, I don't have to live out God's mission. That's what the professionals are here for. You ever thought that? Not if you've ever heard Pastor Rod preach. But did you know that pastors are actually here to equip you to go live out the Great Commission? That's what we call a fivefold church. That's what we're here to do. We're here to equip you. Okay, that's number two. I am too busy pondering camp. Anyone like to just think? Any thinkers in the room? What is it? I'm thinking, right? Hey, thinking is good. We need you because some of us don't think. And that's also equally bad, so we're not making fun of you. But there is such a thing as the I'm too busy pondering camp. This is the person who wants to learn about everything and feels like it will be very key to a future ministry. Key word, future. But they never take action, right? And some of us have definitely been that person. So you just keep learning, keep growing, but it's all for that future ministry that's going to change the world, right? But you never take action. And the number three camp is the why are we doing this camp? This is the person that's eager and task-oriented and can't wait to get their hands dirty, but they actually never stop to ask why. So this is the person that gets burned out over and over again because it's not from an overflow of their personal relationship with Jesus that they're living on mission, but it's out of obligation and duty. How many know that obligation and duty will get the ball rolling in your life? Sometimes you just gotta buckle it up and do the work out of obligation and duty. But if you stay in that area, there's gonna come a day where that ball will roll away, right? Because you're gonna burn out because you didn't actually know why you were doing it. And the reality is we need to grow in the gospel so we can actually live on mission. We do the mission because we realize what the gospel really is. So my question to you today is, what does the gospel mean to you? What does the gospel really mean to you? How do you define the gospel? Amen. It says in Mark 16:15, that's fun to say, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So that word gospel means to announce good news. But I love it because that word gospel is from the word messenger and exclamation combined. What does that mean? It means you cannot separate the gospel from the messenger. It's impossible. You'll break the word. Every time you say the gospel, he came to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It's always tied to a messenger. And Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. He does not sugarcoat his sermons. I love Charles Spurgeon's sermons because, man, you can ponder some of his stuff. He'll take the wind out of you in a good way. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter, but that's because you cannot separate the gospel from the missionary, from the messenger, right? Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all in the Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease. So do you ever realize what did the word gospel mean back then? What was that word associated with? Because the word gospel, it wasn't just a familiar word among the first disciples or the early church. And it wasn't just a familiar word in stained glass cathedrals. And it wasn't just an early word, a familiar word in the Pope's or the bishop's house in history. But let's actually look at what that word was associated with. Historically, kings would go out to war, right? And they would go out to battle. And if they lost the battle, they would send a messenger back to their people yelling, run, run for your life, because all their people were about to get enslaved or killed. But if the king won the battle, a messenger would get sent back shouting, good news. Good news. And that word good news meant victory. In other words, you and your children, you're not going to get enslaved. You can live in peace and prosperity. How many know that's some good news? So when Jesus said good news, that word was associated with risk and sacrifice and battles and absolute victory and freedom during war. Sometimes we're like, oh, look, it's good news. This is why, again, the English vocabulary, it just doesn't have all the words that I wish it did. Because how many have said, hey, good news, my TV show got renewed, right? Woohoo, good news. Or, hey, good news, I don't know, my car repair only costs $100 instead of $1,000. Good news, right? Yay. But this is good news that was associated with life and death. I love this verse. It says, how beautiful is the person who comes over the mountain to bring, who announces peace and bring, who announces salvation and says to Jerusalem, your God is king. In other words, the king is on the throne. His kingdom is coming. There's good news. There is a war being fought. He won the battle and he's sending messengers back. And guess who those messengers are? They're you and me. We're running back from the battle. Do you know the battles you're running back from in your life? What are some battles that Jesus has overcome in your life? And now you can run back from them and say, hey, good news. Jesus set me free from that addiction. Jesus healed that place in my heart. Jesus. And I'm running back from those battlefields yelling victory, good news. The gospel is being preached. The mission is being lived out. Amen. I don't know if you know the song, This Is What You Do. It's by Matt Stinton. We used to do it here a long time ago. And the verse is, it's always like springtime with you. Anyone remember that song? Making all things new. I used to sing in tune about an hour ago, right? It's always like springtime with you, making all things new. Now, I always thought this song is like such a sissy song. Like, it's always like springtime with you. I always think of like the little, you know, flowers, the tulips coming out, which is fine. Springtime, thank God springtime exists in Ithaca, right? But still, I'm like, it's kind of a sissy song. It's always like springtime with you. But what I love about this is that the kings would go out to battle during the springtime. It's always like springtime with you. It's a battle cry. It's always like springtime with you. You are in war and you're sending messengers back yelling victory. It's springtime. It's always springtime. In other words, you're always fighting my battles. Your victory is always enough for me. It's always like springtime with you. You're making all things new. Isn't that powerful? It's always like springtime with you. So I'm just going to start to wrap up here with another springtime battle. It says in 2 Samuel 11:1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, and they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbath. But David remained in Jerusalem. Anybody ever read this? Right? David remained in Jerusalem. So the king, when the king was supposed to go out to war in the springtime, he didn't go. We don't know why he didn't go. He wasn't a scaredy cat. He killed lions and bears with his hands. He killed Goliath with a couple stones. I have no idea why he was not going out to battle when he should have been, but he didn't. And many of us are familiar with this passage and think, oh, he didn't go out to battle. But it wasn't just that he didn't go out to battle. It says in 2 Samuel 11:11, Uriah replied, the ark and the armies and the general and his officers are camping out in open fields. In other words, the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was out there. And King David didn't just stay back from the battle. He actually stayed back from the presence of God. How many know that's a big no-no, right? As Pedro said, God doesn't play there, because that was wrong of King David. So he stayed back from the presence of God. He stayed back from the battle that he was supposed to fight. And it says in 1 Chronicles 18:12, the Lord helped David to win all the battles that he fought. So I don't think King David was scared of losing the battle. So what was going on there? It says in 2 Samuel 11, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent, what did he send? A messenger to get her. So at the time of year when the king should have been sending back a messenger with a gospel message, good news, victory, what's he doing? He's sending his personal messengers to go fulfill his sinful desires. Do you see it? So those messengers, one was going out in victory, and he was like, nah. And the other one was going to meet his sinful desires. Every day we have a choice. Are we going to live on mission, or are we going to live on somebody else's mission and actually fulfill our sinful desires? It says, 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Not to fulfill, right? To destroy. And that word destroy means dissolve. I love that. I always thought of destroy as like, you know, you're breaking things down. It's really hard. You're sweating. But Jesus is like, nah, I just dissolved his works, right? Just like a tablet dropping it in water, just fizzled out. He dissolved the works. It means to break up a meeting, and it means to annul. The gospel dissolves the work of the slandering accuser in your life. Jesus came to break up the enemy's meeting over your life. He came to declare it invalid and void, and to have no more existence anymore. That's what annul means. Why don't you stand on your feet? Sin doesn't make us bad, it makes us dead. The gospel doesn't make us good, it makes us alive. We've got some good news, but we've got a choice. Are we going to be like King David and in the time of battle stay back, or are we actually going to go and be a messenger of good news in our world? It says in Matthew 16, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. No matter what is going on in the world, we know death will not overcome God's church. The messengers are coming back from the King of Kings shouting the gospel victory. Amen? Tim Chester says, the secret of gospel change is being convinced that Jesus is the good life and the fountain of all joy, and any alternative we might choose would be a letdown. Amen. I love this because think about the thief and the crook on the cross. He did nothing to get saved other than believe. He didn't get baptized, right? He didn't walk out the five steps. I don't know what five steps there could be, but I know they exist, right? He didn't go to a small group in church. He didn't do all of these things. He didn't get anybody saved. He just believed. He just said, I see the battle I'm in, and Jesus, you're saying there's victory. There's the gospel. It's good news. So I just want to share this. For anybody who has not received Jesus as your King of Kings this morning, I want to invite you to say, I believe the good news. I believe the good news. I believe that Jesus, you went to battle and you came back from that battle because guess what? I love this. The Passover, when is Passover? It's in the springtime. Jesus went out to a springtime battle to come back shouting the gospel. Repent, the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. The king is on the throne. There is good news, and you can't earn it. You can just believe. You can't earn God's blessing. You just got to believe it. Amen? Freely given, freely received. So if you haven't known Jesus as your Savior, I just invite you to say, I believe this morning. And I bless everything that is trying to attach itself to you and be louder than heaven in your life to let go so you can know God this morning. I bless your eyes to see the one in front of you named Jesus in your daily life. And I bless you with courage to be a messenger of victory and not victimhood to sin. Jesus, we just say yes to living on mission. God, we say yes this week to stopping for the one, capital O, and stopping for the little O in our lives. God, we don't want to just do the Great Commission and forsake the greatest commandment, but God, we want to do the greatest commandment and the greatest commission. We want to put legs to our prayers of your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. And Father, for anybody who feels like I'm in the middle of the battle and I don't see a messenger yelling victory, I'm just right in the middle of the fight. God, I thank you that you're not afraid to get into the dirt with us, to get your hands dirty with us, God, to show us that you died on that cross and you endured everything to walk with us through the fire. You said you would never leave us and you will never forsake us. And I thank you, God, for anyone in the battlefield right now, God. I thank you for a springtime breeze to just blow through their life. God, they would see the sprouts of new life. And where winter's chill has been in your life, Jesus, we just say yes to you blowing in that springtime seasonal shift right now. And we say yes to living on mission in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.